Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Let's pray this evening. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing us to come to your house once again and just being able to meet as a midweek service. Thank you for the Bible Club and the Waltons and the Wilkes as they're conducting that out there, and with some help, Lord. And I pray that you just bless the young people out there. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this thought tonight as we just kind of chase this through your word this evening. And Lord, I pray that everything done here tonight would be acceptable in your sight, Lord, and help my words to be honoring to you, help them be well-pleasing. Help our pastor as he's away, just be with him in a special way. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Lord, I want to pray for the Kleins tomorrow in a special way, as the funeral for the Kleins' father, and I pray that you would just be glorified in that and help souls be saved. Lord, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor was preaching his All Things series not too long ago, and one of the verses, you know how you're listening to somebody preach, at least this is the way I am, and you listen to somebody preach and they're reading along and something catches your attention, or they say one thing and quite honestly your mind kind of just wanders a little bit, at least mine does, and maybe it's an undisciplined mind, I don't know, but my mind kind of wandered. But one of the verses he read had this word acceptable in it. Acceptable. And so I went home and I did kind of a Bible study on this word acceptable. And I want to talk about that word tonight. And in a nutshell, living an acceptable life. And, you know, sometimes we almost put a bad connotation on the word acceptable. Like it's second rate, if you would. Maybe, well, we'll accept it, you know, if we have to. It's almost like that's the way we say the word is, we'll accept it. Almost like that's not what we really wanted, but okay, if that's what's available, we'll take it. And as I kind of looked through the Bible, that wasn't really what I got from studying the Bible. The word accepted means to be pleased with, to delight, to lift, or elevate. And so I kind of thought about this, and hopefully it won't be long tonight. I want to just give you some thoughts about being acceptable and living an acceptable life. Because the truth of the matter is, folks, we all live our lives in order to be acceptable to somebody or something. What you do, what you say, what I do, what I say, is all done to be acceptable in some way. And the thing is what are we trying to be accepted by? Because all of us we all try to fit in, honestly. That's human nature. Human nature doesn't want to stick out. Human nature doesn't want to be the odd one out. Our nature wants to fit in, okay? One of the sad things is when you go out into the world, a lot of the people that you see that they got all kinds of, their hair's all different colors, and they've got maybe a lot of the markings, the markings of the world. I was in Lowe's, I think, a couple weeks ago. I had to run up there on a Sunday afternoon. And I don't usually go to town on Sunday, but it was just something I had to get. And I don't know what happens on the weekends, but it's like weird comes out. I don't know. But, I'm in a tool store, and, I don't know if I was buying screws or nails or something I was buying, but I thought the box got away and hit the lady in the face or something. You know, I don't know. Like, her whole face was just, had metal all over it. And as much as we honestly, as Christians, I feel like sometimes we almost, oh, well. The truth of the matter is, they're just doing that to be accepted by somebody. You know, I mean, yeah, that's not us, but they're doing it to be accepted by somebody. To their group, that new piercing that they got's really cool. To their group, that tattoo they just got, it's really cool. That's the only reason they do it. Okay? Nobody just gets a tattoo and then just says, well, I just did that for me. No, they want to go show you. They want somebody to see it. They want to be accepted by somebody. You know, these kids that come on the buses sometimes and, you know, they'll color their hair. You know, half it'll be neon green, half it'll be neon pink. And you know what? We love them because, you know, the truth of the matter is they're looking for love someplace. That's the reason they did that. They just want to go to school and somebody show some attention to them, you know? And I think it's kind of a side note. I think as Christians, it's important when a young person comes and they're doing something that is right, show some attention to it. Yeah. Man, you got a nice, you know, a lady comes in. Okay, it may not be the dress that we, okay? But she's trying. Yeah. She's trying to wear a dress. You know, I see some of these guys come in and they'll, you know, I think of a young man, he gets on the bus and his pant legs will be tucked in his socks and, you know, his vest is all disarrayed and his hair's all, you know, crazy and he's trying to fix his tie as he comes in on the bus. You know, hey, give him an attaboy. Man, you look good today. You know why? Because they want to be accepted. We see here this acceptance. You say, Brother Chad, what is this acceptance with God? Why did God only accept Cain or Abel's sacrifice and God didn't accept Cain's? Well, honestly, it goes back to that principle of the salvation there. You know, God, Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to cover themselves basically with their own works. They went and got leaves and they sewed them together and they made aprons and they tried to cover themselves with their own with the works that they did. And that basically comes down to what Cain and Abel are doing here. One is he's bringing something that honestly, yeah, he shepherds it, but he didn't have a whole lot to do with that lamb being born. Okay, that was blood. And there, you know, blood is required for the remission of sins. We learn about that in Leviticus. And that's why Jesus Christ had to shed his blood because he was the ultimate sacrifice. So that is acceptable to God. I was trying to think. I like illustrations. Quite honestly, I probably would have had one. But I did chapel this morning, and then I was with the teens all afternoon, and I didn't get a chance to make up something. So, but I was thinking, I was trying, what have I done that's acceptable? Not much. So I'm really racking my brain. What is acceptable? And in comparison to something that's not acceptable, which is, ask my wife, is a lot, okay? So I was thinking... And we just got done butchering hogs. And I don't know, I guess it's been 2 months ago maybe now or something. I don't know. And I've butchered hogs. Good night. I don't know how many hogs I've butchered. I've butchered a lot of hogs. And every time I butcher hogs, we always cut the sides off to make bacon. And because I hate paying $4 a pound for bacon at the store, and I really like bacon. Okay, and I think that's just, you gotta like bacon. That there's just something, okay, and I think this is gonna be the closest thing I can get to, you know, when God says a sweet smelling savor, okay, not like legit, because okay, God didn't ask, I think God created us in his image. That's deep. So when God told this priest, okay, I want something that's a sweet-smelling savor, he didn't say, I want you to go grab the spinach and the carrots and the potatoes and stick them all on the altar and cook them. What did he say? Put meat on the altar. Now, maybe that's a male chauvinist, this is meat, you know, meat night. I don't know. But there is something unique about bacon. Okay, like there is no other smell that matches the smell of bacon cooking. Okay, so, you know, I've butchered a lot of hogs, and every hog, I have tried different ways to make bacon. And every one of them have been unacceptable. Okay? You know, the first one we did, we put the salt in like they said. You know, I'm following a recipe, okay? I'm putting the salt in, and like you pull it out, and I thought I was eating salt cubes, okay? Like you cut it, and it was so salty, like it was, you couldn't eat it. And so we threw that away. The next pig, we cured the bacon again, and the salt level was good. And I thought, okay, it's not too bad. So I decided I was going to smoke it, because that's what you're supposed to do with bacon. Well, I smoked it. And you know how you're burning leaves, and you get that in your face? That's what it was like inhaling, okay? So we got the flavor right with the cure, but we didn't, you know, it was a failure on the smoking part. This last one we did, though, okay? The last one, I talked to some guys, and I was serious. I mean, I'm very serious about this, because if I can save us a bunch of money and we can get bacon, I mean, that's almost when the grid goes down, bacon's going to be a commodity, okay? And I was like all about this bacon thing. So we slice it up, and I cook it, and there is like this, Brother Josh, there's this, like something smells right. Okay, now I've cooked a lot of meat that doesn't smell right. This one smelled right. And I'm like, man, that smells really good. Okay, you know what it was in my nostrils? Okay, it was acceptable. Okay, it was acceptable. You know, and so you get it done, and it's that burn your mouth moment when you can't wait to try it until it cools off. So you take one right out of the skillet, and you're like, you know, you're tasting it. Maybe I just burnt my taste buds and I couldn't taste it anyway. I don't know. But it tasted good. It smelled good. It tasted good. And I told my wife, I was like a kid in a candy shop. I was like, we made bacon. We made bacon. And you know, for a lot of the old time, you know, oh yeah, what's the big deal about that? But that's the first time I'd ever done it. I was so excited because we'd finally accomplished. And listen, I said, I've butchered probably a dozen hogs and tried bacon on almost all of them. And I've never got it to where it was like, this tastes like bacon, okay? It was acceptable. It was acceptable. Have you ever gone into a place, you know, you walk in and ladies, you go into a store or something and they've got like the tart warmer things going or something and it's like, man, that smells really good. Now, it's completely artificial and you'll never be able to reproduce it, but it smells really good. You know what it is? It's acceptable. All right. Versus walking in, you know, somebody just told me, somebody came in the other day. Oh, I know who it was. Somebody came in the other day and they're like, yeah, my kid stuck a bag of popcorn in the microwave. And the microwave, they pushed the popcorn button and the microwave didn't shut off like it was supposed to. And the bag caught on fire. You know, so there's burnt popcorn and then there's burnt microwave popcorn, you know. And that is not an acceptable smell, right? I mean, it stinks. And so I think in my mind, that's kind of when I was thinking of this, okay, it's acceptable or it's not acceptable. That's kind of my two extremes there. You know, the bacon is acceptable, all right? I'd much rather smell the bacon while it's in the pot than the bacon in the pen. Okay, does that make sense? All right. The bacon in the pot smells a whole lot better than the bacon in the pen. And I've done both of them. Okay. And so there's that acceptable, unacceptable. And so I was chasing this thought through the Bible. And I want to just give you a few things here that just, I don't know, as a Bible study more than anything. The first thought I want to give you is, do we live on acceptable ground? Do we live on acceptable ground? Job chapter number 42. We'll flip through these hopefully quickly here. Job chapter number 42. This is the end of the book of Job. And we have the story of Job's friends, and they come to him and, you know, they condemn him basically. And Job tries to put up a defense of, I'm guiltless. And you know, God reprimands him at the end. Anyway, Job chapter number 42, look at verse number 9. Actually, look at verse number 8. This is God speaking to Eliphaz. He says, "Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. For my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job." So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And I thought that was interesting because it wasn't really Job that was supposed to bring the offerings. It was his friends. But God said, "I want you to bring the offerings, but I'm only going to accept Job." You know, and I think as an adult, as even as a young person, I think it's important that we live on acceptable ground. Because you never know, the Bible says at the beginning of the book of Job, remember what Job did every morning? What did Job do every morning? He got up and he prayed for his kids. Why? Because I believe Job lived on acceptable ground. I don't know what his kids all did, but Job was a man that could get a hold of God. When Job brought a prayer to God, God said, what do you need? There wasn't a bunch of junk in Job's life that Job had to get rid of before God would listen to Job. Okay? Genesis chapter 19, I'll read this verse 21. He said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken." Remember, if you're familiar with that passage, that's Abraham. Abraham, remember Abraham went to God and said, "God, if there's 50 righteous, will you spare the city? If there's 40 righteous, will you spare the city? 30 righteous, 20 righteous." You know who God was listening to? A man that lived on acceptable ground. Abraham went to the place where he met God in the morning. Hey, this was a repetitive thing in Abraham's life. This was a continual thing in Job's life. And as I got looking at this, I had the thought, Chad, do you live on acceptable ground? Can at any moment you go to God and say, "God, can you help with this situation?" And God hears my prayer. And I don't have to go and get rid of a bunch of junk in my life just so that God can listen to what I'm asking. Okay? I'm glad that I had parents, they're not here, they're in Montana. I'm glad I have parents that lived on acceptable ground. I'm glad I have a pastor that lives on acceptable ground. Because the truth of the matter is, I'm just going to be honest, I don't always live there. I visit, but I don't always live there. Okay? And I want to be somebody that lives on acceptable ground. Be able to get your prayers answered just like that. Okay? I think that's important. And you say, "Bro, Chad, I don't know if I'm there." Well, I'm not there all the time either. In fact, I'm not happy to say this. I would say a lot of times, if I looked past in my life in the last couple of days, if I had something serious, I'd have to go to God and say, "God, would you? I need to get some of this cleaned up. Would you listen to me?" And you're going to see later on why this is important. God wouldn't accept sacrifices that were blemished. Sure. He wouldn't accept sacrifices. Anyway, we'll get into that. He wouldn't accept sacrifices that were tainted. He wanted what? Pure, clean. Okay? He wanted the best. And so I want to live on acceptable ground. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Let's flip over there. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, very familiar verse. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I want to live in the acceptable will of God. Now, before you throw stones at me, I've heard, and I don't know if there's anything wrong with it. Well, there's 3 different stages of the will of God. You know, there's the good, and then there's the acceptable, and then there's the perfect. Well, if you look up the word perfect, that's not really a stage, all right? Perfect means complete in the Bible, the complete will of God, all right? Acceptable, what does that mean? To delight. That's the definition. To delight, to be pleased with. So the will of God, what is that? What is the will of God? The will of God is God looking down and saying, well, I was pleased with what Chad did today. Can God look down at everything you did today, everything you said today, and can God say, I was pleased with that? Okay? I was pleased with that. I was happy with that. Chad did everything he was supposed to get done today for me. Not for Chad, but for God. The perfect, the good, acceptable, the perfect will of God. Not only that, they said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. What did Pastor just talk about? Holy. You know, the old definition of old-time religion, it's holy. Okay, if you got a question about it, well, I don't know this or this. What's the holy part? Okay, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The words of my mouth. What needs to be acceptable? The words of my mouth. To who? To God. Psalms chapter 19, verse number 14. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, the words I say, the things I think about, are they acceptable? Well, I didn't do anything wrong. Did we think something wrong? Because God is a discerner of the hearts, of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay? Did we think something wrong? And that's me, all right? All the time. I may not say it, but I think it all the time. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. What are our lips saying? What'd you say this week? And, you know, this generation of Americans, it's not just your lips, it's what your thumb said. Okay? We need like little thumb puppets, you know? It's what your thumb said. That thing you copy and pasted. Well, I didn't say it. Yeah, but you copy and pasted and shared it. Okay? That's a whole other thing. The lips of the righteous, what needs to be acceptable? The words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, the things I think about, the things I feel, that needs to be acceptable to God. Leviticus chapter 22. Now here's where it gets kind of hard. Leviticus chapter 22. So God wants us to do it acceptable. Is the things that I'm doing acceptable to God? Do I live on acceptable ground? Are my thoughts and my words, are they acceptable to God? Remember, like that sweet savor. Remember that sweet savor, that bacon smell, okay? Are they acceptable? When God hears the words I say, does that make him happy or is it like, oh, it's that pungent smell, okay? Leviticus chapter number 22. Here's some interesting verses about sacrifices. Leviticus chapter 22, look at verse number 20. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind or broken or maimed or having a wen or scurvy or scabbed, ye shall not offer these things unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, that mayest thou offer for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Ye shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised, or crushed, or broken, or cut. Neither shall ye make any offering thereof in your land. Here's the question. Do we offer God the leftovers, or do we offer God the best? And when I got to this part, quite honestly, I was, and I'm just being, this is Chad, okay? I am who I am. But there's a lot of times in life, I feel like I offer God leftovers. You know what God said? God said, I want the best. Especially, and if you look at this, he's especially talking about, and I know, listen, I am saved. Chad Gordon is saved by the grace of God. I'm saved not by any works that I have done, not by my own righteousness, but by the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, he paid 100% my sin debt. You know why? Because he was a perfect lamb. Without spot, without wrinkle, he was perfect. He paid my sin debt. There is no doubt about that. But Romans chapter 12 also says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. So if God says, I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, that's holy and that's acceptable. And then you go back to this list of things that are unacceptable. Now, I'm not talking, Brother Chad, I broke my arm and I can't, you know, I can't. That's not what God's talking about here. God's not talking about your physical part here. Okay? I believe that God's talking about who you are as a person. And sometimes, you know, we do... me and Brother Bob... Brother Bob has told me this story several times. I think it was you and your brother was out doing some floor covering. David was out doing some floor covering. And Pastor Robert Ross came out there. And... there's, on work days, there's phrases that just develop, or, you know, so when Brother Don, I've heard Brother Don and Brother Bo work together, all right? So Brother Don was a coal miner. I mean, Brother Bo was too, but Brother Don was a coal miner, you know, welder. Let's get it done. We're going to put it together. Brother Bo was a machinist. So everything was like, you know, the 64th of an inch. Brother Don, as long as he could weld the gap, it was close enough. Right? Okay? And I remember vividly work days between the two of them. You know, Brother Bo, we need to come our way at 30. You know, we're squaring a building up. Man, come our way at 32nd of an inch. And everybody's looking like 32nd. I mean, it's a 40 by 100-foot building, and we need a 32nd of an inch. And so you got Bo Eichelman in this corner, and Don Mowry's in the other. He's already nailing stuff. He's like, nail it, boys. It's close enough. You know? And so that, you know, that whole thought of nail it, you know, get it. Swing the board, and when it gets close, shoot a nail at it, you know? And those are good memories. Those are good memories. But I remember Brother Bob, and he was telling me about him and his brother was out there laying flooring. And, you know, it's kind of one of those, you're just making statements. It is what it is. And they're laying this flooring, and Pastor Robert Ross comes out there. And I think I'm getting all this right. Pastor Robert Ross, their dad comes out there, and they're putting whatever VCT tile down or something. And one of them, they got something close to the edge or whatever. And one of them said, good enough for who it's for. Well, Pastor Robert Ross heard that and commenced to tell them that this was for the Lord. And you know what? They sat down and listened to their dad tell them how this, and I get it. You know, we all make, nail it, you know, that type of statement. But there's also a good truth in that. There's also a good truth. You know, and sometimes it's easy to, let's get this job done. Let's get it done. And you hurry through something that maybe we should take a little more time to do. You know, we hurry through a Sunday. You know, you got your Sunday school lesson prepped, and you know it. I mean, you're telling the same story you told last year to just a different group of kids. And we kind of just hurry through it. Good enough, got through this a half hour. You know, I get to teen hour, or I go on teen visitation, and you clock in at 3:30, clock out at 6:30, got it done again for the day. But did I really give God my best?
Sure.
Did I really give God something that was acceptable in His sight? I'm building something, and honestly, I'm just being honest with you. You know, I try to do quality work on what, you know, I do believe there is a balance. You can spend a lot of time on something that it seriously doesn't matter, but there's also things that do matter, and you start taking shortcuts. And would we do that on another job? Or we do just here because, close enough. And I got kind of convicted about that because there's a lot of times in my life when I look at things that, okay, your Bible reading, my Bible reading, did I just do it? Did I just do it, or was it meaningful?
Yeah.
That time I spent with God, was I always, you know, if I'm walking down the road with God, was I always looking at my smartwatch trying to figure out, let me answer this text real quick. Excuse me, God. Be back with you in a moment. Important business, you know, here.
Yeah.
And I want my life to be acceptable.
Amen.
If you're going to offer your life a living sacrifice, don't you want it to be accepted?
Yeah.
Instead of, because God refused a lot of them.
Yeah.
Don't give me your, and he got to where he was telling them, don't give me your junk. Don't give me your stuff. Malachi chapter number 1, Bible says, and if you offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer the lame and it's sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. Ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye have brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord of hosts? What am I bringing? And that's just the question. What am I bringing to God?
Yeah.
You know, do I check in, check out? Am I check your time card and, I got Wednesday night done. That's good. You know, at least somebody won't think I'm skipping church now. Or is it meaningful?
Sure.
And that's something between, honestly, that's in between you and God.
Yeah.
That's in between you and God. That's not me. That's between you and God. Are we acceptable to God? Our works, are they acceptable to God? Romans chapter 14, let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things, what things? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost, serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Ephesians 5 verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. How is Chad Gordon? And this is, you have to put yourself there. But my question tonight is, how is Chad Gordon offering a sacrifice? My kids just stood up here and said, I have decided to follow Jesus. And I stood up right after him and said, that's a decision that me and their mother have made also. But is that decision acceptable? You know, when God senses that young person, teenager, when you're doing your, you know, what you're supposed to do, Are you doing it just because your mom and dad want you to, or are you doing it because that is what would be acceptable to God? Okay. Are you doing your Bible reading just because I gave you a Bible reading chart and a planner to keep track of it? Or is it actually a walk with God? Okay? And at some point, it's not about Brother Chad checking your list off. It's at some point, it's I want to be acceptable to God. I want to be a sweet savor to God. Because all of us in our life, if we're not careful, we get in a rut. We do the same thing 3 or 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, and it kind of loses its pizzazz that it had at the beginning. I'm guilty. I'm there. I'm just honest. I'm there. Okay, the things that used to be exciting, oh, this is exciting. We're going to go out. Let's go out and we're going to hit section whatever. Operation Occupation. Are we to the place as a church that now we're, oh great, here comes March again. Listen, that's a sacrifice unto God. The bus route that we used to be, oh, it's, we're going to reach this town for God. Now are we, I think I'll hit the regulars today. I'm not, that's Chad Gordon. I'm just being honest with you. But you know what a rut is? This is really good. A rut's a grave with both ends kicked out. And if we're not careful, we die in that. And we just content, you know, guys that go four-wheeling, you know, what happens in a rut? Gathers water and it grows stagnant. You know, ruts almost never fix themselves. You just got to get out of it. All right?
Yep.
And this was challenging. After I started studying it, I'm like, Chad, you're an idiot. You should have just left that one alone because that one beat you all up. But you know what's good for me?
Yep.
You know what I want to do better at? Hey, if I'm in charge of something, I want to do better at making sure it's done that would make God happy.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Okay? And yeah, I understand we have limitations, and but if I'm going to go as far as offering my life a living sacrifice, wouldn't it be good to be accepted? And listen, these young people and my kids, I pray for them. Every day, I pray for these kids. Why would I be praying if my prayers aren't getting accepted? What's the point of it? If heaven is brass and all your prayers just ricochet because I'm not living on acceptable ground like Job and Abraham, what's the point of praying? All right? I want to live an acceptable life. Good, acceptable, in the perfect will of God. And I think by doing that, I have the best opportunity to maximize the influence that we have over the next generation. If we're not, we're going to just die kind of a natural death. I was talking to Brother Nichols right before the, and this is just me too. I was talking to him right before the service about video editing, okay? Do you realize that Chad Gordon does video editing? I know. But you know what? I stink at it. My only thing, I get on Microsoft. Is Microsoft even a thing anymore? Okay? I get on Microsoft and I figure I got like the, you know, Photoshop program on Microsoft, okay? And that's how I do my video editing. He's got like it's not Hollywood, although you are from California. But I mean like first class productions. We're not going to call them Hollywood, but I mean they're nice. I'm like, dude, that is awesome. I'm excited, not just because that's the only thing he does, you know. I'm excited that he's here. You know why? Listen, if we're not careful, all of us need a little push. Brother Josh, you know what happens when a cow won't move? Well, first of all, I pick her tail up and I try to push her. And if she won't move like that, I got this thing. It's about that long. And it's got two prongs on the end of it. And it's called a hot shot. And I will light her up. You know what? It's good for all of us every once in a while to just be like, yep, I ain't moving. And for God to come in and say, psst. Listen, hey, I'm excited about the vision Pastor has. I'm excited about what we're planning on doing. Okay? I'm excited about Brother Nichols being here. Listen. You know what all of us need? All of us need the paint can stirred every once in a while. You ever buy a can of paint that's been sitting on the shelf for 3 years? We all need stirred. Let's let God stir our hearts and let's be acceptable in His sight. I want to be acceptable. I want the work I do to be acceptable. I want my prayers to be acceptable. I want the life I live to be acceptable. I want to live an acceptable life, a sweet savor. All right? I don't know if I want to smell like bacon. But I don't want to smell like sewage either. Okay? Let's live a clean life as a Christian. And let's strive together in 2024 to live an acceptable life, not in everyone else's sight, but in God's sight. Because that's who I'm trying to please. I don't care about anybody else. I want to please God. Let's try to live our lives that way. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for bringing this in my life. God, I needed this. Being acceptable in your sight, Lord, so many times I just feel like I just coast through because of it's easy to do. I can do it. And Lord, I pray that you help me to be better at it, at serving you, being better at being acceptable in your sight. Help my walk to be acceptable. Help my prayers to be acceptable. Help my life to be acceptable. And Lord, just thank you for, I guess, hammering me with this as I studied it. And Lord, I thank you for that, bringing that into my attention. And Lord, help me do better in 2024 at just serving you, loving you, and walking with you. Thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.